future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. It's been a beautiful weekend in here in London. It's been sunny, but guess what? We're accustomed to the sun now after a blowout summer. So let's get down to business. Bitcoin is currently trading at $6,480, down 1% in the last 24 hours. With Ethereum currently trading at $204, down 1.5%. Ripple currently trading at 45 cents, down 2%. Bitcoin Cash currently trading at $445, down 1.5%. EOS is currently trading at $5.40, which is down 1%. I'll give a special shout out to Ravencoin, currently at 5 cents, and that is up 55% in the last 24 hours. So big shout out to those guys for outperforming the market. The current market cap of the crypto space is $209 billion. Bitcoin's dominance of that is 53.7%. Pretty strong percentage numbers, pretty strong dominance there from Bitcoin, but as we know, that's what we can expect at these low market cap levels. So let's talk about the total market cap, and that's the market cap size. I think this is definitely something, well, I know it's definitely something of interest because in the last 7 days, we've seen it quite volatile, but you haven't really seen it go below the $200 billion level, and you haven't seen it really break through that level as of recently, right? So we've been looking at it between 213, so that's 213 billion, depreciating to a level of 207 billion. They're kind of bouncing back up. It's kind of stuck there between $200 billion and $220 billion. Now remember, this is not financial or trading advice in any way, shape, or form, but one of the things that we see as a potential breakout would just be positive sentiment, positive stories being released, moving this up in lockstep and growing the momentum, getting this thing up and rolling again. Now, something very interesting that I don't really agree with a lot of people on is that people are always looking for like the one big catalyst. A Bitcoin ETF was one of those. They thought that once the Bitcoin ETF would be put in place, that this would be a massive catalyst. Lots of money would just automatically come into the market. Yes, I agree that a Bitcoin ETF is a positive catalyst. Absolutely. And do I think it's going to happen? Absolutely. It doesn't really matter if it happens now or next year. But what I really believe is that it's not just going to be one catalyst that's going to be driving this market forward. The next run up is not going to be one catalyst. I believe it's going to be many. And I believe we're going to see this spread out across different months. Fidelity offering custody, one of the biggest funds in the world, recognizing this as an asset. This is massive. And we're going to see more and more positive stories rolling out. And I really believe that is what's going to take us back to those high market cap levels that we all love and we all want to see again. So with that in mind, let's get down to business and let's get into the stories. Let's review. Let's get down and dirty. Let's get into this. Let's go. So Monero's been making some headlines. One of them was Monero fees fall almost to zero after bulletproof upgrade. So transaction fees of Monero, the 10th largest cryptocurrency network, have fallen sharply after last Thursday's system-wide software update. The reduction comes in the wake of the platform's activation of a highly anticipated new form of cryptography named Bulletproofs, a new technology that seeks to make the Monero network's privacy feature more scalable by restructuring how its confidential transactions are verified. According to data published by Bitcoin Info Charts, average Monero fees fell from about 54 cents on Thursday to roughly 2 cents as of Saturday, a 96% drop. Such a dramatic shift was previously predicted by Monero developers. Speaking to media sources, one said, "I think you can safely say a typical transaction fee goes down by more than 95%. That's from Monero core developer. His name was Monero Moo. And that's what we remarked last week. So Monero Moo also said that the fee reductions could be even lower, depending on the kind of transaction that users create. Alongside Bulletproofs, the upgrade performed via a mechanism called a hard fork contained other features intended to improve privacy on the platform, as well as a new code to deter manufacturers from building specialized mining hardware for Monero. So speaking of IRC last week, developers celebrated the upgrade with Sarang Noether, a cryptographer at the Monero Research Lab that led the work on the Bulletproofs implementation, writing that it's going to be great seeing the blockchain growth charts. So there are also predictions that the drop on fees might be the open door to additional users for XMR, the cryptocurrency that powers the Monero blockchain. Core developer HYC, or HIC, said that the upgrade was definitely making the notion of micropayments more palatable once again. I mean, that's great news for Monero, man. They've been around for ages. I mean, in the cryptocurrency space anyway. I mean, if you look to a traditional company, you say they've been around ages. You probably expect it to be a couple hundred years. But Monero have been in the game quite a while now. And I remember they had a lot of hype behind them last year. It was like, if you're talking privacy, you're talking Monero. And then I think they had kind of a bit of a slowdown, but they've still got a market cap of $1.7 billion at this current point in time. I believe they date back to 2014, which in crypto is centuries, man. Like, that's what it is. 2014. So 4 years. That's a long time, man. That's a long time to be out there, to be open, and to be building community. And I know they've done some wonderful things. So the volume on Monero in the last 24 hours is $14.6 million, which is okay, dude. But like, as a privacy coin, you're transacting. That's what the point of it is, that no one, you know, it's not open, like an open blockchain. We can track and see where everything goes. It's supposed to be a bit more intimate, right? So you can send funds and it can be a bit more private if you like, which, by the way, is an essential part of being able to transact. You should have the option to be able to transact in private, and you should always have that option. It's just in the modern society that you don't. But that isn't, like, the volume figure on that isn't huge for something that is supposedly doing a lot of transactions and is out there making moves. Now, to give you a comparison, Bitcoin in the last 24 hours, volume figures are 3.6 billion. Ethereum is 1.3 billion, right? So this is giving you an idea. I mean, Monero itself, dude, they need to up their volumes. They need to get that stuff up there. I mean, Cardano's doing more volume figures than them. So that's kind of, that's a little bit, not necessarily concerning, but I would expect those numbers to be a little bit higher. And maybe with this new big announcement they've made, it might just do that. But listen, it's not financial or trading advice in any sort. So another topic that I'd like to cover is that Goldman Sachs invests in a cryptocurrency wallet. So BitGo, the cryptocurrency security and custody company, announced recently the second close of its Series B funding round, bringing the total raised in this round to $57.5 million. The new investors who joined the round are Goldman Sachs Principal Strategic Investments Group and Mike Novogratz's Galaxy Digital Ventures. The funding is earmarked to support BitGo's wallet development. So this is a statement that was publicly announced. This strategic investment from Goldman Sachs and Galaxy Digital Ventures validates both our market opportunity and unique position, said BitGo CEO Mike. No one is better positioned than BitGo to serve institutional investors who want to trade cryptocurrencies and digital assets. That's why we're focused on figuring out what it takes to secure $1 trillion. The market's not here yet, but our job is to be ready first. I love the sound of that. $1 trillion market cap. Woohoo! But it's interesting that Goldman Sachs have strategically placed themselves, not necessarily building their own custody solution, but investing in someone else's. And you wonder if that's to not only get a better understanding of the space before they may enter, or because they want some exposure, they want some skin in the game. Here's another quote that was mentioned about this deal. So greater institutional participation in the digital asset markets require secure and regulated custody solutions, commented Rainer Yared, a managing director of Goldman Sachs Principal Strategic Investments Group. We view our investment in BitGo as an exciting opportunity to contribute to the evolution of this critical market infrastructure. It's interesting to see what Goldman Sachs are doing, RE Investment. I mean, they're not really a firm in the crypto space that is pretty active. I, like, you know, they've made one or two investments. So they're not really out there just doing deals with everyone. They're very strategic with what they do, and they come into a deal really making the deal itself. So it's a great name to have on board for the wallet itself. So they've done a great job there. This is also going to encourage other institutions to look at this space more seriously if they haven't already. Now, I know a lot of them are, and a lot of them are having indoor conversations regarding what's going on. But Goldman Sachs entering into the space would give trust to a lot of these other institutions who maybe didn't take the space so seriously. So in other news, institutional traders borrowed $553 million since March. So Genesis Global Trading is a registered broker-dealer with an over-the-counter OTC digital currency trading desk. The firm has revealed a meaningful increase in the number of market participants wanting to borrow or lend digital currencies or digital assets. So since the launch of its institutional lending business on March 1st, 2018. So the company reports that more than $500 million passed through its lending desk since launch. This volume was across 11 assets and involved 60 institutional counterparties around the world. Additionally, its loan book stands at $130 million in active loans outstanding, which Genesis says it's steadily grown over the year despite the bear market. Its clients include hedge funds, trading firms, and companies that use cryptocurrencies as working capital. This is really big. I mean, I know the guys at Genesis really well. So big, big shout out to Mike and the rest of the trading desk over there who do an amazing job 24/7, 365. But it's interesting to see when they first announced that they were going to do this, I was really intrigued to see the interest level. And obviously, it's blown through the roof with nearly $500 million being loaned out. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see what they've done there, because instead of owning the asset outright, that institutions, it seems like now, would like to loan the asset, which I find quite interesting as kind of a strategy. But it'd be interesting to see if this is something that we might see an uptick for. Maybe institutions don't want to own the asset outright. They want to buy it, or maybe they want to loan it and use a small amount of capital to do so. Will this be a new trend? So on another point altogether, North Korean hackers to target crypto miners next. So Group IB, a company that specializes in preventing cyber attacks, recently introduced its 2018 Cyber Crime Trends report, which include some interesting analysis on state-sponsored hackers and the cryptocurrency ecosystem. For starters, approximately 56% of all money siphoned off from ICO projects was stolen from phishing attacks. And between 2017 and 2018, a total of 14 cryptocurrency exchanges have been robbed, suffering a total loss of $882 million. At least five of these attacks have been linked to North Korea and North Korean hackers from the Lazarus state-sponsored group, with a combined loot of $571 million. Their victims were mainly located in South Korea. In addition to exchanges, the security researchers predict that major cryptocurrency miners have become the next target of state-sponsored hacking groups. Man, that's super interesting. And one of the reasons I find like the hacking element really interesting is because it shocks me how many people are not prepared. Like how many people are taking a lot of risk. They're raising millions of dollars and they weren't protecting themselves to potential hacks. And I think a lot of people weren't expecting serious outfits to be out there looking for these opportunities. And of course they were. Absolute cash grabs to these hackers in these countries that they have no respect for any of the laws. And they're out there trying to basically get as much money as possible in any means necessary. So that in mind, that's a wrap. I gotta bounce. Thank you as always for your time and attention. I gotta bounce to a Circle event with Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, this evening here in the heart, the epicenter of the world, or as we know it, Shoreditch. Remember as always to join us on Telegram, SVK Crowd. Hit us up on Twitter. That's where it goes down, at SVK_crypto. And if you have a project that you would like our attention on, feel free to email myself, cstory, cstory, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I got to bounce.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.